just as the angel had told them. Amen.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us wherever you are and whenever you're picking up our service as we continue to transition toward a more normal Sunday morning. Not too far away, I hope. Thank you to Ange for leading our service and for everyone who's been involved in putting our service together this morning. Back in the days when Boy Scouts used to raise funds for their troop by collecting bottles, a young scout knocked on the door of an older lady who was known to be a pillar in her local church. He introduced himself as they'd been taught, not that he needed to, for he was wearing his scout's uniform. "I'm collecting on behalf of the scouts," he said. "Have you got any beer bottles?" Well, the lady was offended. "Young man, do I look like the kind of woman who drinks beer?" There was a moment's silence. "Have you got any vinegar bottles?" Sometimes, unconsciously I'm sure, our words, our actions, and sometimes just the vibe we give off fail to show others that we're followers of Jesus. He came to bring us joy. Those who know us and those we meet sense something of this inner joy we have. Or do they rather have reason to suspect that we've been drinking vinegar? It's been a tough year, and it's almost Christmas. Those of us who really love Christmas have been starting to count down the days, 19 to go. Some of us, depending on our personalities and circumstances, have coped fairly well with the isolation and the restrictions we've been living under this year, and some have really struggled. It's almost Christmas, and we're all more than ready for some good news. Times were tough for God's people too, back in the years before Jesus was born. The 1st of October was a good day for me this year. This year I've been following a reading plan that will take me through the whole Bible by the time the year is finished. On the 30th of September, I finished reading Malachi at the end of the Old Testament, and on the 1st of October, I started in the New Testament. Even the genealogy at the start of Matthew seemed pleasant after the doom and gloom, the warnings, the failures, the disobedience in the Old Testament. Now, that's not a fair summary of the Old Testament. There are some great and uplifting passages there too, especially from some of the Psalms. But by and large, God's chosen people have failed to live up to their potential, particularly in their worship of other gods. In spite of all God has done for them, disobedience seems to have been their default response. They seem to have been incapable of giving back to God all he was entitled to. 9 months in the Old Testament was a bit depressing. I was ready for some good news. In my Bible, there is one blank page following the end of Malachi before the New Testament begins. That blank page represents 400 years in Israel's history. 400 years of silence from God after his last recorded words through the prophets. Can you imagine what it must have been like? How many generations of Jewish believers lived, struggled through those long years without ever hearing from God? Maybe up to 10 generations lived and tried to maintain their faith while God remained silent. We're not surprised then that religious life for God's people had deteriorated to what was possibly an all-time low. We think the 8 or 9 months we've been unable to meet together physically have been a trial for us. And we've had online services and Zoom and the internet, and we have God's word to us, his complete word, readily available in translations that we can read and understand. How tough must it have been for those generations of Jews in the 400 years before Jesus arrived? Isaiah had given them something to look forward to. Nevertheless, that time of darkness and despair will not go on forever, as Rachel read to us a moment ago. The people who live in darkness will see a great light. Its people will rejoice as people rejoice at the harvest. And the word so familiar to us, for a child is born to us, a son is given to us, the government will rest upon his shoulders, he will rule with justice and fairness for all eternity. Some 700 years after Isaiah wrote those words, these promises were fulfilled. After Mary and Joseph, shepherds were the first to receive the good news that Jesus was born. Luke tells us that shepherds were outside Bethlehem that night guarding their sheep. An angel from God suddenly appeared, and Luke says, the radiance of God's glory, the Lord's glory, surrounded them, and they were terrified. I'll bet they were. This does not normally happen when they were out with their sheep at night. The angel quickly spoke to reassure them. Don't be afraid, he said. And then he said something I want us to focus on for the remainder of this message. He said, I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. Let's consider firstly the angel's promise that what he had to share with them that night was good news. The reality is we all receive all kinds of news from many different sources. What makes the news that we hear good news? Firstly, good news comes from a trusted source. I have to confess this morning to being something of a news junkie. I like to at least keep in touch with what's going on locally across our nation and around the world. And while I'm confessing things this morning, I should also own up to being a bit of a skeptic when it comes to much of what I hear. And I suspect that I'm not alone in this. How much do I trust this person or this particular news agency to give me the whole and unbiased truth? The news the shepherds received that day came from an angel of the Lord. It was a message directly from God himself. You can't get a more trustworthy source after so many years of silence too. News is also good news when it's something we've been waiting for. Your daughter's in hospital about to give birth. That phone call to say everything has gone well is good news indeed. You've applied for a home loan and the bank assures you that the paperwork is all in place. It's really just a formality. But your offer to buy the house that you've fallen in love with can't become unconditional until your loan is approved. So you wait. Good news when the bank finally contacts you to say it's all gone through. When Victoria goes 28 days with no new coronavirus contacts, we're officially recognised as COVID-free and restrictions will be further eased. So we count off the days one by one as we wait for day 28 to arrive. Wasn't it good news when we finally got there? And our news is good news when it's what we hoped for. You've submitted a job application. You've sat your VCE exams. Your doctor has sent you for scans and a blood test. You're waiting and you're hoping that the news when it comes is going to be good news. The angel told the shepherds not to be afraid. He had some news for them, and yes, it was what they'd been waiting and hoping for. But he tells them something more about this news before he gets right down to specifics. It's good news that will bring them great joy. Not much joy in recent days and years for God's people back then. Those 400 years between testaments had seen turbulent times for the Jews. They'd been dominated by a succession of world powers, including the Persians, the Greeks, the Egyptians, and of course the Romans. We've had some of our freedoms restricted these past months. Nothing like what God's people experienced through those years. Last Sunday, Dave Palmer chose one of my favourite songs, O Come Emmanuel. It starts off as a kind of lament, a plea to God for intervention. O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appears. Israel has been no stranger to times of hardship, mourning, and desperation. Once before, 400 long years of slavery in Egypt before God raised up Moses to deliver them. 70 years captivity and exile in Babylon before the Persians conquered Babylon and Ezra is allowed to take some of the Jews back to their homeland. And now this extended period of hardship and deprivation in those long years before Jesus arrives. Not much joy here for God's people. They were more than ready for some good news and some great joy. Sometimes life's difficulties help us to appreciate better the good times when they come. What have we learned through these months of restrictions? What have we missed? What have we appreciated? What are we looking forward to as we move into better times? What is this joy the angel promised the shepherds, a joy that is our birthright as children of God and followers of Jesus? My evangelical dictionary of theology gives us this definition of joy. Joy is a delight in life that runs deeper than pain or pleasure. It is not limited by nor tied solely to external circumstances. Joy is a gift of God. And like all his other inner gifts, it can be experienced even in the midst of extremely difficult circumstances. I really like that definition of joy. And I'm sure many of you can testify to this joy, this beautiful gift of God, perhaps sustaining you through some difficult moments. We want to note the scope of God's gift announced by the angels to those shepherds that night. Let's note the adjectives in this powerful sentence that we're looking at. It wasn't just news he was bringing to the shepherds and to the world. It was good news. There was nothing ordinary or restricted about the joy he promised them. It was great joy. And it wasn't just for them or for a few people that evening. It was for all people. Our final point this morning. Jesus didn't come to bring great joy just to the shepherds, or to the Jews as a nation, or to Christians living today in the 21st century. He brought joy to all of the above, but his gift is far more extensive and inclusive. The angel's good news, God's gift of his Son, and the joy he came to bring is for all people. So we're glad when people of other faiths, along with those who proudly declare that they have no faith at all, take Christmas Day as a holiday, even if their celebrations miss the whole point of the day. And we're glad to hear those carols in shopping centres and stores, even if the music is canned or the performers seem to have little understanding of the person behind the song. Jesus came to bring us joy. Joy to the world, as another popular carol reminds us. So we're happy to see some of that joy rub off onto others who don't yet know its source. And of course, joy to all people runs much deeper than some kind of second-hand experience. The angel told those shepherds that their long-awaited Messiah had finally arrived. He'd been born that very night in nearby Bethlehem. And you can see him for yourselves, the angel said, and he told them where to find them and how they would recognize him. How did they respond? Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's check out ourselves all that we've just been told. The sheep can look after themselves for a while. If there was joy out there on the hills that night, we can only imagine the joy in the stable as the shepherds met Jesus themselves and began to understand what his coming to them would mean. When they finally returned to their sheep, they went rejoicing, Luke tells us, giving praise and glory to God for all that they had witnessed. The good news and the great joy were not just for the shepherds. Luke tells us that those shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. Do you think they did this grudgingly, reluctantly, or under some kind of obligation? I'm sure they told others joyfully. They were so excited about it, that it just spilled out of them. Everyone they met in the coming days and weeks, and probably years, was going to hear all about their experiences that night. And I'm sure many others caught something of the shepherd's joy. That's the thing about joy. Real joy is contagious. It's irrepressible. It's unhideable. It's unkeep-inable. I'm pretty sure that isn't a proper word. How's your sense of joy with just under 3 weeks to go now until Christmas this year? Jesus came to bring us joy. How sad if the disruptions of this year, or the busyness in these days before Christmas, or the trials of life cause us to lose our joy. God has sent us a Saviour. We're waiting to celebrate Christmas this year, but Jesus is already with us. And we long to share our faith and the hope it brings us and the joy with those still lost in their struggles. Joy is God's Christmas gift to us and through us to a lost and dying world. Let's watch how much we take on and try to do in this busy end to the year. Let's make time to allow God to touch us afresh with his love and the joy which immediately follows. Then that joy will fill us to overflowing. Others will notice and want to know where it comes from. And then we'll tell them. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for the good news of Christmas. You've given us a Saviour to rescue us from our sins and to be our friend. Thank you for the joy that this brings to us. Thank you that this joy runs deeper than life's experiences, that it allows us to appreciate the good times and sustain us when things are tough. Forgive us for those times when we've allowed our circumstances to distract us and rob us of our joy. Touch us afresh, we pray, in these days leading up to Christmas. Fill us once more with your joy, and may it overflow to those we meet in this time. May they see your joy in us and seek to discover the source of all joy for themselves. Shine your light through us this Christmas, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.